What's good, y'all? This is Breeze Brewing from the Mighty Juggernauts. And make sure you subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. Hip-hop journalism on the highest level.
Let's get into it live. Yeah. I'm in a state of relaxation. I'm the best, facts face it. Where I'm from, niggas take trips with no pack cases. Up in court, it's no back statements.
West Garfield Park, Chicago MC Fillmore Green has just dropped his latest project, Knowledge and Power, and he joins me now on Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. Fillmore Green, thank you so much for being here, man. I really appreciate it.
Man, thank you for having me. You know, it's an honor to be.
So let's start from the beginning. You grew up in West Garfield Park, Chicago. Can you kind of bring us into what was that? What was it like growing up then, and how do you feel this kind of shaped you as the artist you are today?
Oh man, what is it growing up? What was it like growing up in West Garfield Park, also known as K-Town? That's the area I'm from. Each record, beautiful picture, 1, 2, and 3. Writing those records are similar to, like, it's like a reflection of where I'm from. You know what I mean? The very first Beautiful Picture, which came out in like 2012, featuring my homegirl, Tila Robinson. It was really about the area I'm from, you know, how we were poverty stricken. We saw some of everything coming up, you know. I literally, and I was just telling one of my associates this yesterday, you know, I came up around everything, you know, anything you can name, you know, from when I really say it, you know, pimps, prostitutes, hustlers, you know, I got cousins that has college degrees, very successful. So it was like I grew up around everything. You know, when I was a young kid, I accepted the fact that color didn't matter. You know, it's only one race. You know, I grew up next door to a, you know, multiracial, you know, couple. And their sons were close friends to me because we were, you know, next door neighbors. So I grew up around everything, you know. Growing up in that area really showed me a lot and it turned me into who I am. You know, I'm very conscious of, you know, how I want things to be for that neighborhood, you know, because I grew up with, you know, it was everything there. I wouldn't change a thing, but it was like, it was chaos, but it was beautiful, you know.
You talk about a Beautiful Picture 1, 2, and 3, and, you know, Beautiful Picture 3 is obviously on this album, Knowledge and Power, and it's, you know, it's a great track. It's very inspirational, and it's kind of really talks about how, you know, seeing beauty around you no matter what, right? In your surroundings and your upbringing. Can you talk about the trilogy of this of this these songs, and what kind of had you come, what was the inspiration from finding coming up with tracks Beautiful Picture 1, 2, and 3, and would there be a Beautiful Picture 4?
Yeah, that, it will be a Beautiful Picture 4, 5, 6, until we can keep this thing going, you know. Thank you for listening. And it was just something that I could put together, some words I could put together to make people say, you know, what is it that he's talking about? Let me check this out. You know, with the music, you always eat with your eyes first. It's like food, you know, so you put titles and it makes people go listen to them based on the titles. Those that really love the music and get into the credits and things of that nature. But it's just what it is, you know, the beautiful picture. You know, we're all in this big frame and they may paint, you know, our areas, the inner cities of Chicago to be something else. Even though you may paint it that, it's a better... It's better on the other side. It's a beautiful thing.
Hey, you read the titles of Beautiful Picture 1, Beautiful Picture 2, and Beautiful Picture 3, this album, and I can't help but think of Sky Zoo's Beautiful Decay, right? Very similar themes and kind of purposes to the song, and so it was great when, you know, listening to this album, and I come upon the track What Your Motivation, which also features Sky Zoo. Can you the collaboration is great. Can you talk about, you know, how did this collaboration happen? And then also what I really do appreciate is that there's a change of music underneath Sky Zoo's verse. Can you talk about, like, what was the reason behind that change of music?
So which part do you want me to answer first? Because I'm gonna go with how the song came about first. We booked Sky Zoo in 2019, brought him to Chicago. We players over here. You know, we put him in a 5-star hotel. Where we went, it was I'm kind of known in the city. You know, I got a nice relationship with lots of people. So, you know, everywhere we went, you know, they would say, "You guys are in good hands." Me and my people, we treated them nice. You know what I mean? Not knocking any other promoters, but we treated them nice, you know. And we took them to the Taste of Chicago. I don't know if you guys know about that. Took them to the Taste of Chicago. Then we went to record What's Your Motivation that night. We were dog tired, walking all day, you know, just moving around the city. You know, he was fresh here from the airport. You know, we went and did a couple interviews, and later that night we did the record. And I just told him, like, what the hook was about. You know, the hook is about growth. You take a man and you take a man as he's growing. When he first starts off, he wants to, when he's younger, 20 to 17, he wants to chase the women. Then they grow up to get in the clubs and you want to buy the bar out. Then you grow up and, you know, if you look and listen to the hook is about growth. So he did that part, right? I did my parts. So when he came back, is knowing I'm chasing the ghost that was waiting from by the same steps where he's so dope on the pavement. You grow up near the best and you get a road that were greatest. Whether 12-12 skinnies or a record sales can get me, I chose to see what a chart do. Open seats like a carpool, truth over the counter. Know your reach like a bar stool, baby. I threw you truth and let you take it at will. If you was labeled as a youth, then you was labeled the killer. Now what's your motivation? Fully loaded for loaded statements. But that was beat wasn't on that record. Different beat we recorded over. So when he came back, he did his verse. And when I heard what he was rapping about and who he was rapping about in the verse, when we decided to change the beat, Chuck, Hadi, and I said I wanted to get him something. I want his beat to change because he's talking about Biggie Smalls on my song. One of the greatest rappers of all time. He's talking about Biggie Smalls on my song, on my album. So I said, we got to change the beat up, like on some All About the Benjamins type shit. So we went through a few beats to match the tempo and everything. And I don't think Sky really liked the beat changing idea. He really likes the OG beat. When I tell you, when Hadi played that record, and it fit like a glove, because the beat I rapped over was more mellow, you know? And when it get to his, it's like spooky in a good way, but it got that Hadi flavor on it, Rashid Hadi flavor. So his verse fit like a glove, and he rapped about Biggie on it, you know? Motivation, it just fit with the theme of the record. You know, what's your motivation? What are you motivated by? Are you motivated by chasing women? Do you want to feed your family? Do you want to get property, stocks, and real estate? What do you want to do? Like, what's your motivation? It's just my question to the people, you know, and a lot of times I ask those questions, I use myself as the reference, you know, just to let you know, like, I'm not pointing the finger because I'm using myself as an example. That's what that's about, you know. Motivation, salute to Sky Zoo. We got Time on the last record. Good, man. It's my brother.
And you hear throughout this album, you definitely hear your motivation. I think it's a lot about, and you mentioned before, but it's a lot about where you grew up and, you know, West Garfield Park, and you talk about your surroundings a lot, and there's that the live from the hideout, the intro, you know, the intro track. It comes up as a quote unquote, I guess, hard look about where you're from, but not like a scary look, just kind of like, hey, this is where I'm from, and then it kind of sets the tone as an intro track for the rest of the album. Can you talk about the importance of this first track kind of setting off the theme of the album for you?
Well, the first track, it's beautiful the way that track was created, right? It's so beautiful, I can break it down, and we actually documented everything, you know, so... we had went to this cannabis fest out in Muskegon, Michigan. You know, it was just being legalized out there, and you know, it was so dope. The mayor was at the cannabis fest. The mayor of Muskegon, Michigan was there. So we're at this cannabis fest, me, Chuck, Rashid, and Reese, Rashid's cousin. We're at the fest. We had a blast. We rocked the show. Everybody loved us. You know, salute to the homegirl Simone. They loved us. And on the way back, Rashid was so inspired by the weekend that he was like, I want to make a beat in the car. He said, I want to make a beat in the car right now. So Chuck was like, you know, Chuck was driving. He was like, you know, okay, let's set up. So he had his laptop, he hooked it up into the, he hooked the beat machine, did some shit, and it just, everything worked. It was playing over the speakers, he had the phone out, and he had the beat machine going, and Rashid Hadi made that beat in the car from Muskegon, Michigan, 3 to 5 hour drive, and we're in the car vibing out while he's making this beat. From the sample to chopping it up and everything. And I'm recording everything. I'm documenting everything with my phone in the back. I cut it up. And then by the time he was done with the beat, we were still on the road. I said, you know what? Keep the beat playing. I'm going to write my verse. So it all was created in the car. You know what I mean? And to put the cherry on the top, coming back from Muskegon, Michigan, the venue we played at was called The Hideout. And Chuck was like, okay, shit, let's call this one Live from The Hideout. And that's how that was birthed, you know. So that kind of like set the theme up. The Survival Scroll, Live from the Metropolis, this was Live from The Hideout. And I think I'm going to keep the theme of that, like, as all my intros, Live from wherever. But that's how Live from the Hideout came about. We were literally in a car, and we created that song in the car from Muskegon, Michigan, and performing at the venue called The Hideout.
Did you know? I mean, is that something when you're writing that you know that this is going to be the intro track to the album?
I don't know yet, but I have a feeling. Like when I hit a beat, certain beats have intro written all over it. I don't know if you guys, like, you guys are musicians? Do you play or anything?
I'm a very poor piano player.
Okay, so you're a little inclined, you know? So you're a little inclined with it. But you know that feeling. You know when something should go first. You know what I mean? Like, it has that, okay, this is about to happen, feel to it. And it was magic. When we recorded the record, I knew this was going to go first on some project, you know, so that was it. That was it.
You know, you mentioned growing up in West Garfield Park, and there's a lyric on the track Managed Money, which is pretty much, it's, you know, it's a few words, but it says, get over for me what I want to do, I got to do. Can you talk about these lyrics and what's the meaning behind it, and why do you feel it's something that you have to do in terms of ghetto reform?
Simply because you know, ghetto reforming, what I want to do, I got to do. Work for 7 years, no breaks, no sabbaticals. You know, it's something that I want to do, man. Like, it's, and I'm going to do it. I'm taking the baby steps now to, you know, doing what I need to do to better my area. Because, you know, a lot of the guys I came up with in that area, if they had the person with the mindset like me around them every day, some of them probably would still be here. Some of them would still be here, whether it's jail or death. So you never know. And, you know, it's happened to someone very close to me, a few people very close to me. So that's what it is. You know, I wanna do better. I wanna see people win. I wanna, you know, pay it forward and make the neighborhood something it's never been. You know, give kids vehicle raffles before they leave for college, shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you know, something that's gonna make people remember who I am and make them proud of where they come from even more than they are right now. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful place. You know, it's I wouldn't change a thing, and I say that a lot, but I just want it to be better as far as like empowerment and giving back. You know what I mean? And I've been around there. Now it's, you know, it's my neighborhood. You know, I grew up around there. My dad was born in that area. My mother been in that area since she was 3. They don't live that in that area no more, but it's deeply rooted. So, like, you know, we love by everybody. You know, I think I'm a good guy, so the love is there. So I got the support from everybody, you know what I mean? And I just want to make that happen, from shooting movies to community centers, summer tournaments, which we already got going, my brother. You know, and it's just about that, man. Uplifting the community and inspiring others in a better way.
And I think that's kind of, I mean, it's interesting. You listen to this album and everything you talk about, you could tell there's love behind the message, right? And even the people that you have on the album. And I would love for you to talk about the female artist on Managed Money. She's just incredible. Who is she, and what do you feel that she brings to this track that maybe another female artist couldn't bring to the track?
Born to lead us, the original forgotten king of humanity in the purple dashiki, the ruler to the east, the blacklisted by badges that stay smudgy. Unity is imperative. The world is ugly, unbelievable. Every shade of brown.
Her name is Story Devereaux. Story Devereaux. She's a amazing vocalist. She's a spoken word. She does it all. You know, she makes the hell out of some cranberries during the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. She sold like 500 cans of that shit. It was phenomenal. But she's a great woman, and she can really sing, and she's very creative. She brought that exactly what she spoke about. You know, she brought exactly what she spoke about, that motherly feeling to the track, speaking to everyone that needed to hear it, especially with the details in some of her words. Rest your head on my bosom. You know, that's something your grandmother tell you. And the tone of her voice at the time when she was sick, it was like, I really want to sit down and listen to her type thing. You know, that's what she brought. And then when you meet her, shit, it's even much more intense. You know, she's just a beautiful human being. Like, she can really sing and do spoken words. She's gifted. Story Devereaux, like, she, look her up. She's a Chicago native, out south, south side Chicago. Very, very, very talented.
And the final track you leave us, Restore the Feeling, is, I feel like it pairs up perfectly with the first track of the album, because it's, I think, essentially touching, talking about the same, you know, very similar topics, but there's this, the music underneath it makes it very, very, very hopeful track at the end. Like, you know, you feel like something's good is going to happen out of this after we leave this album. Can you talk about creating this track, and when did you know that this would be the final track of the album?
Well, creating the track, I was so much of in the zone. Like, I don't even remember recording the track, to be honest. You know, people get on here and make shit up. I'm just being honest. Like, I don't even remember recording it. It was that I was in the zone so much. And it was dope. You know, like, her, the vocals within the sample and the way Hadi chopped it up, it was just like, it was soulful. You spoke to me and I, like I said, I was in the zone. And I don't even remember writing it. I don't even remember writing it, but it was, you know, what was the second part of the question again?
When did you?
Why did it come last?
Yeah, when did you know that this was going to be the last track of the album?
In all honesty, we called an audible. We called an audible for that one to go last because Bolo was going to go last at first. We got these things, you know. You know, Chuck does the track listing, and when he come back, he's spot on with everything. You know, he does the sequencing of the records, and if we feel like something should be higher, we will voice our opinions, and everybody will vote on it, and, you know, that's how it will go. But we pulled an audible the night we were uploading it, and we said, you know, let's switch out Bolo for Restore a Feeling, because that had a, I don't know. I heard it going last. You know what I mean? I heard that record going last. You know, that was very, it's a statement record. So I wanted to leave off on a good note, being that the project was, everything's a good note. I take that back. The whole project's a good note. But yeah, we wanted to leave it on that note, the statement record. That's a huge statement. I got off a lot of steam on that record on some of my issues with what's going on, you know. So it's just me venting, man, you know. And that record was an audible. We put it last, and I think we did a good job. You just said it. You just said it goes well with the first track.
There's such, as I said, I mean, I'm going to continue to say there's such, you could tell there's such love put behind this project. Is there a record on this project that, you know, you're proud, you're kind of the most proud of to this day, of, you know, writing it, or even just like how it turned out, because the work you put into it, you know, was a lot more than maybe the other records you did?
Oh man. It's tough. To be honest, you know, it's tough. But if I had to choose for the sake of choosing, I would say, perfect for the interview, I would say the whole project. But Manage Money, Follow My Lead, featuring my brother Peter Jericho. I mean, you got Skyzoo rapping about Biggie Smalls on a record. How could you not love that one? Beautiful Picture 3 with Natasha Robinson, you know, All That I Know, I touched on the Great Migration, and it's still intertwined with that ghetto. It's tough, man. Like, it's 10 records. You got Vic Spencer, Rashid ID on Cool Breeze. It's tough, you know. It's very tough, but I would go with Beautiful Picture 3. Beautiful Picture 3 and manage Money and Follow My Lead. See, I still can't pick.
I don't expect you to, because I know it's like it's one of those things.
It's tough. You pick. That's a good question. It's tough, though. That's tough.
You know, I cannot not ask you about the cover art for Knowledge and Power.
Ask me whatever you want.
I'm going to ask you.
Ask me. Don't hold back.
You know, you see the cover art, and you know it's a man facing us. He has a baseball cap and a hoodie, which reads a lead on it. On one side of him, which seems like a white person's arm with a gun, and on the other side is a brown skin arm with books. Can you talk about this cover art and how did this cover art come to be, and kind of what does it mean, and what should we take away from it?
Okay. First off, I would like to say salute to my brother, Isiaka. He took the actual photo. That's a photo of me. And my brother, Aofex, he painted the actual photo. You know what I mean? He created the artwork. This artwork was created back in, I want to say, 2018 or 2019, early 2019. You have me. That's an actual photo of me, actual facial expression. And the hoodie is Lead. Salute to my family leaders. It's an actual brand, clothing brand, staple clothing brand in Chicago. OG Diego gave me the hoodie. I did a photo shoot in it, and I love that photo so much to where as though I said, you know what, I'm going to make this a cover art piece, but it just can't be me standing there like this because my face is saying something. So I was having a conversation one day, and we got really deep into the history and, you know, what was going on at the time and Trump, and that sparked the whole knowledge and power of vision. You know what I mean? And when you look at this picture, right, I'm standing there. The hoodie says Lead. Leader's hat. Leader's is the brand. So I'm the leader. I always feel like I'm the leader of what I do because I inspire people. But you go over to the black hand, history, finance, religion. Those are three subjects they don't teach in schools anymore. They stripped those away from the whole Illinois curriculum, Chicago curriculum. Like, they don't teach that in school anymore. That's something we need to know as a people. You know, that's how we move forward. You got to know where you come from. You got to be financially literate. And you got to know yourself and your faith. You know, you step out on faith, you grow wings. You know, you have to know yourself. All that comes with knowing yourself and knowing your background, right? That's knowledge. Black hand is handing the book because that represents how my people need to, you know, keep doing what we're doing, but do it on another level now. You know what I'm saying? Show love. Show love to one another. Pay it forward. Help the next man. You know what I mean? Create that money, let it circulate, and keep it going. That's how we build our wealth. That's what it's all about. And you go on the other side, the side that represents power, that side represents knowledge. Then you go over to the other side of the cover art that represents power. And like I just said, back to the red, white, and blue book, that represents America, the colors. So let's go to the power side. You got the white arm. One of the homies asked me, you know, why are you putting the white arm? You know, if you zoom in, there's a tattoo on the arm. And I normally don't get the gems away. I just make people study it. But it has MAGA. He has a MAGA tattoo. I don't even have to say nothing else. You see what I'm saying? Like, police brutality. You know, we can go back to Trayvon Martin. Like, it's so many. And that's what represents that, you know. That's what represents that, the cops that make it look bad for the good cops. You see what I'm saying? Make America great again. We had a whole president in there, you know, that was just saying what he wanted to say and do what he wanted to do, doing what he wanted to do. So that's what represents that, you know. And that's the power. I put the gun there because guns do what? They draw emotions, a certain emotion about it. You know why? It don't matter if it's on a picture or in real life. You're going to look at it and you're going to say, what's going on? You see what I'm saying? So that's just to get your attention. And I'm just standing there nonchalantly and just, you know, I want to reel you in. I want to make it an event. So what's this situation about? Knowledge and power, and you can't have one without the other. You see what I'm saying?
It's the, I mean, also what stands out to me is the parental advisory sticker warning. Is that also part of the cover art? I mean, you know, it's just to think of, it's to think about like growing up and remember seeing those stickers on like NWA, right? Album covers and stuff like that. You know, I just like thinking about what parental, you know, what, why they started using parental advisory stickers and, you know, what that meant. And so, Nikki, why did you include the parental advisory sticker?
For one, it was dope. AOFX painted that. Like, it's no, you can't find that one nowhere else. You know what I'm saying? He painted that and it was dope. It was pretty dope. But I just put it right there simply because, you know, if you're underage, I might say some things that may be inappropriate for certain children, you know? So I just put that there to, you know, to be safe, you know? It's there, you know, it's self-explanatory. Parental advisory, explicit content. It's very explicit. It's not my most explicit work, but you know, something I say to really get the attention of some people, you know? You might have to throw a few F-bombs in there, you know?
What's also, I mean, what I think is kind of incredible what you have been able to do in terms of being an artist, especially during, you know, this time of pandemic when, you know, you have a daughter, and I think you have two daughters, right? And one's four.
Three
daughters, I'm sorry. One's four. So she's, you know, she's home, you know, with you. Just being able to find time to create and create these projects as an artist, you know, you've released essentially two projects in, I feel like less than, I mean, one in 2020 and one now. How have you found time to do all this? You know, just like feel like, you know, you I have two kids myself, so it's just like, you know, you're there for the whole day with them, and then the last thing you know, I feel I could do is just think about anything else besides like, once the kids go to bed, just want to go to bed myself.
Oh man, it's been a lot of, when we talking about this situation, like it's like, okay, you have to give time to the people that require it, right? And then you still have to find time for self, you know, you still got to find time for self. So what do? I sacrifice a lot of sleep. I sacrifice a lot of sleep, and I know I have to, you know, manage that better down the line, the older I get, but I, right, you know, it's like I sacrifice a lot of sleep. It's a lot of long nights because I must record. I got a mission. I have to get projects out, and I got more on ice, like, you know, develop a catalog, and it's like, some nights I want to just sit back and watch SportsCenter. You know what I mean? But the drive in me says, okay, you could be watching this on mute, sitting on the couch with this microphone right here. You see what I'm saying? So some nights I have SportsCenter on mute with the setup right in front of me. You know what I mean? So it's like I try to fit everything in, man. I think I'm doing a good job, but it's like if you want something that bad, you gotta make the time for it, and also keep everybody else satisfied as well. So it's a lot of sleepless nights, man, and it's paying off. You know, it's gonna get better, but it's paying off.
I mean, I really feel this project is it shows that payoff. I mean, it's a great project to listen to, and it's one of those projects that you need to listen to every song on it. You shouldn't just skip around, you know, skip around. I mean, of course, you're gonna find your favorites, but of course, like it's a complete project. You listen to the whole thing. And
I appreciate that.
Of course, man. He's Phil Green. His latest project is Knowledge and Power. It's been great and honored to have you on the Library Rap, the Hip Hop Interviews with Tonight. Thank you so much for being here, man. I really appreciate it.
It's an honor for having you, man. First of many, thank you, brother. You writing Dr. Seuss, I got the knowledge to write an almanac. Chi-town, it feels good to be a part of that. Round here, niggas whisper, give me all of that. You get poked for your J's, Jews,
and starter caps. All your re-up money, weed, and all your crack. I run the night with the insomniacs. We bring heat to wherever. In December, we change a thermostat. I wasn't raised around platinum plaques. I was raised around killers and gangsters, and you can grab a pack. Work a jab, and when it's done, you get 100 back. Get a whip and play it smart to reach 100 stacks. Street dreams are made of these. Let your money flip easy like a natural-born acrobat. They give us food with log clogging your cardiac. They give us heart attacks. We eating all of that. Interviews for jobs, and they don't call us back. Shorty's in school for knowledge and get raw for that. Please reform the Common Core to stay pen overcrowded, because niggas singing like the Commodores. We eat Chinese rice.